Davani's, your local pizza and hot hoagie joint in the Twin Cities and family-owned since 1975. With 20 convenient locations, they proudly employ 900 Minnesotans. Delivery, takeout, or dine-in, they've got you covered. Order online at Davani's.com.
Back to the best of the KQ Morning Show, 92 KQRS.
Got me to Regina, Canada, but I want to go just for the T-shirt.
Experience Regina. That the T-shirt could come with a date. You put on, you put your own date on the T-shirt. You know what I mean? And for some of us, obviously, it's a lifelong situation. And for some others, it's a day. Oh, I don't know. Gosh, out of the back of my mind, maybe in June of 1981. I mean, who can remember such things when you? Anyway, I don't know what the mass transit system is in Regina, but please tell me there's something they call the Regina monorails. Just
you know, there's trying too hard. In my home state of South Dakota, real public service campaign that ran in South Dakota.
Winter driving can be treacherous. Should your tire leave a snowy or icy road, resist the urge to jerk the steering wheel. Overcorrecting only results in chaos. Besides, nobody likes a jerker. Instead, stay the course. Discover more winter driving tips at don'tjerkanddrive.com.
Now, I would like to say that I participated in that, and Tony Lee and I wrote that for the state of South Dakota on purpose. But South Dakota quickly... Come on, yanked it, right? At least saying they had no idea that that was offensive. Just now you've made yourself look stupid. At least say, we just went with a bad joke, our bad. But they doubled down and they tried too hard out there.
You can make anything sound better with the British accent, though. I mean, at least they had the good sense to put an English accent when you're going to say don't jerk and drive. Yeah. It sounds somehow far more palatable with that British accent. If you got a guy that sounds like George Martin, the producer of the Beatles, he can literally say anything and it'll make sense.
Now, Nebraska, listen, this is an actual Nebraska tourism ad from 3 years ago.
Nebraska, honestly, it's not for everyone. That part of a new ad campaign released on Wednesday by the Nebraska Tourism Commission aimed at getting people to the good life state by poking a little fun at it. Some of the things in the campaign include explaining why Nebraskans float down rivers on livestock tanks. With the phrase, lucky for you, there's nothing to do here.
They should. I'm telling you, bring in the English guy. Nebraska, there's not much to do here, but we found it's a fascinating place to sit under a tree and contemplate the meaning of life. It's not for everyone, but it is for certain members of the aristocracy. Come to Regina, which makes you think of a muscular canal that extends from the vulva to the neck of the uterus.
The best of the KQ Morning Show.
Hi, Fred.
Hi, Ted.
Are you holding my hand?
No, I'm just shaking it.
Yes, but it's the way you're shaking it.
I'm shaking it up and down.
I know, it's too suggestive, almost masturbatory. It's sexual harassment.
No, I'm just saying hello.
I'd rather you said hello some other way.
Okay, how about if I slap you on the back like this?
Are you attempting to massage my back?
No, I'm just giving you a standard male slap on the back.
Yes, but it's the way your hand lingers back there, almost a caress.
No, it's just resting on your shoulder.
That's too flirtatious. It's sexual harassment.
How about if I wave at you?
You're making obscene hand gestures at me, aren't you?
No, I'm just waving.
But it's the way you were waving that's deemed a sexual harassment.
How about this? I'll just say hi, Ted. How are you?
Are you asking me how I am in bed?
No, it's just a standard greeting.
It's the way you said it, too enticing.
How about hi, Ted?
I saw the way you licked and moistened your lips before you spoke. You're trying to seduce me.
Okay, from now on, I'll just do nothing. I'll just walk away like this.
Hey, the cologne you're wearing. Not bad.
You want me to follow you into the men's room, don't you?
There's something wrong with your head.
Head? Oh, reading you loud and clear. That's sexual harassment, and I don't have to take it.
You!
I knew it!
Sexual harassment. Go ahead, make a case today. The best of the KQ Morning Show.
Hey, everybody, it's your Hollywood reporter, Mike Evans, brought to you exclusively by Marcus Theaters. You know, when was really the last time you enjoyed a movie, the whole experience of watching a movie in a theater? Well, you need to go to Marcus Theater and enjoy a movie like never before, and especially enjoy their great reclining comfort seats. And don't forget, every Tuesday is $5 Tuesday. All movies, just $5. They're the best. They are Marcus Theaters. All right, we start off with a little love nugget. Brooke Shields is telling everyone that she never, ever had a sexual relationship with Michael Jackson, despite Michael Jackson's claims for years. Well, since he's been dead 15 years, who really cares? Tom Brady quietly traveling, spending some time with kids, and Tom Brady is now starting to date. Well, gee, I hope Tom isn't having too much trouble finding a date or getting a date. I think he'll be all right. TV news, CBS has renewed Blue Bloods, SWAT, East New York, and True Lies. But if you ask me, none of these shows are as good as 70% of the shows that are on streaming services. There is a great new reality show coming this fall. It's called Guardians Portland. Guardians Portland. Guy by the name of Nick Haas and his 14 buddies have been tracking stolen car police reports. And by the way, stolen cars up 600% in the city of Portland, Oregon. And his team has been able to recover over 500 cars. ABC and Fox are bidding for it. I think it'll be a great reality show. Odds and ends, while the 76-year-old man suing the Gooper, Gwyneth Paltrow, suffered four broken ribs, brain damage, and was hospitalized. When he says the Gooper, Gwyneth, ran into him on the skiing run. The Gooper complains, Gwyneth complains, hey, she lost a half a day of skiing. Okay. Levi Strauss and Victoria's Secret and Macy's and other clothing companies are using artificial intelligent generated models in their print and TV ads. And the prediction is live models will soon be a thing of the past and stores will save hundreds of millions of dollars. Speaking of retail, Panera restaurants are introducing a new service where you can use your palm print to pay for your purchase. I don't know. I think that's an invasion of privacy that could open up to all kinds of misuse. What say you? Talk about it. Hey, and I often call celebrities overpaid, overpampered, oversexed, but here's the list of the top 10 celebrities arrested the most times. Number 10, O.J. Simpson, 9 arrests. Number 9, Lindsay Lohan, 10 arrests. 10 arrests for number 8, Courtney Love. Number 7, Tekashi 6ix9ine, 11 arrests. Number 6, Dennis Rodman, 12 arrests. Followed by number 5, Bobby Brown, 14 times. Number 4, Suge Knight, 15 times. Number 3, DMX, 24 times. Number 2, Peter Doherty, 26 times. Number 1, all-time running away with it, Martin Sheen, 66 arrests. By the way, special honorable mention to Andy Dick, who I think is a real Andy. His number of arrests, though, unknown. Hey, can you believe it? Tomorrow, the Twinkies, the Twins, play baseball. I can't wait. Have a great day. We'll do it again tomorrow. I'm Mike Evans. I'll see you.
The best of the KQ Morning Show.
Hi, I was in your store. I'm home now, and I'm naked, and I'm thinking about you.
You're what?
I'm completely nude, and I'm thinking about you.
I've been thinking about you, too.
Hi, I was in your store. I'm home now. I'm naked, and I'm thinking about you.
So, pal, what kind of other problems do you have?
Hello?
Hi, I was in your store earlier.
Yes.
And I'm home now. I'm naked, and I'm thinking about you.
For what?
I'm completely nude.
So what should I do? Should I start up thinking about you too? Sorry for that. Don't say like that, okay?
I'm home now. I'm naked. And I'm thinking about you.
What do you want to from me?
I'm completely nude.
Huh?
I'm completely nude.
You.
I'm home now. I'm completely nude and I'm thinking about you.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Can I call you back?
Yeah, I was in your store.
Uh-huh.
I'm home now.
Okay.
I'm naked and I'm thinking about you. Well, that's pretty.
I'm nude. I'm nude.
Naked.
Shazam! All right, then.
Uh-huh. I'm naked, and I'm thinking about you.
I'm sorry?
Naked.
Well, we need to see doctor.
I was in your store earlier.
Uh-huh.
I'm home now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm naked, and I'm thinking about you.
Hold on, please.
Thank you.
Must be sick. Uh-huh.
I'm home now, and I'm naked, and I'm thinking about you.
No, you're not. I don't have anything funny to say today. I'm just in a terrible mood.
Okay, thanks.
Are you going to call back?
I'm home now. I'm naked.
Oh, cut it out. I don't want to do this.
Hi, I was in your store earlier.
Yes, sir.
I'm home now.
Yes, sir.
And I'm naked, and I'm thinking about you.
Are you really?
Naked.
Well, what you want me to do about it? Put your clothes on and come back. Who is this? You better keep your mouth shut!
There's a fine line between stupid and clever.
The best of the KQ Morning Show.
Davani's, your local pizza and hot hoagie joint in the Twin Cities, has been family-owned since 1975. With 20 convenient locations, they proudly employ 900 Minnesotans. Whether it's team gatherings, family meals, work lunches, or just craving familiar comfort food, Davani's is your trusted go-to. If you're looking for delivery, takeout, or somewhere to dine in, they've got you covered. Do you have a large group to feed? They're the large order experts you can count on. Order online at Davani's.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Back to the best of the KQ Morning Show, 92 KQRS.
My point is, these things are all genetic. Like, you know, you can look at your parents and go, hey, thanks for that, or thanks for not giving me that, which, you know, is interesting. Your parents will give you a lot of information. Some things they're very happy to tell you about, like how they met. I met your mother in fifth grade. I heard that story my whole life. One thing my parents never told me was where or how or what the context was for my conception.
Oh.
And in fact, I never thought to ask. I don't think I want to know. And I say this because in Illinois the other day, there's an oasis, a rest stop. And Illinois closed down this highway rest stop because they're going to do some road expansions. And a 21-year-old dude chained himself to the front doors so that the wrecking ball would not swing. So, okay, you know, you see people chaining themselves to a redwood tree.
Yeah.
Or you see people like chaining themselves to a public library. He chained himself to a rest area off the highway in Illinois. He said, you don't understand. You can't knock down this rest area. This is where I was conceived. His parents, in the summer of 2001, after attending a Genesis concert in Chicago, on the way back to wherever they lived, couldn't wait. They had to pull over. They had to get to know each other all over again at a rest area. And that is where the magic happened. And so this kid is literally saying, this is a sacred spot for my whole family. This is the place I was conceived.
I'm trying to forget the moment that I found out. Yeah, most of us that accidentally came across that information are trying desperately not to think about that information, let alone, you know, make your stand based on that. My mom did not start drinking until later in life. And some years ago, less than 10 years ago at Christmas, with all the little kids running around, mom's into the wine in the kitchen there a little bit. But I can hear her from across the room. Well, Brian was conceived in a Catholic church parking lot. Your dad and I went out on a date and we were driving back and we couldn't wait any longer and we whipped into the first parking lot as Catholic church and my feet went up on the dash and I went, Mom!
Oh, she got that detailed?
That detailed! I was like, Mom! So, Tony, you don't know. I mean, your parents were all proper about it. They never suggested to you where you were conceived.
Well, there was mention of a stork, and I just leave it at that. I don't know what the question is.
Larry Stork. That's a
Larry
whole different
stork.
Thing. That's
yes, that. He delivered milk.
Oh, my gosh. There's a.
I'm so glad to know.
And here's what I've come up with. Boys and girls, I was conceived on consecrated ground. I don't know where you guys are heading to the afterlife, but I'm skipping the line. I'm first. I'm probably got a seat at the head table trying to look at the glass half full there.
And mom is limber.
Jesus. Anyone else?
No, I have no clue. I guarantee you my parents don't even know because I was the eighth kid, and I don't think they were keeping up with too much of anything at that point. It was like if they could, you know, they so I don't know. Maybe Thanksgiving was pretty extra special that year. I don't, you know, son and Thanksgiving of 1964. The turkey was a little more moist than normal, and well, I don't know. There was something about that white wine at the table.
The best of the KQ Morning Show.
You know, there's quite a bit of history in this club. Put it to song, you say? I think it would go exactly like this. Outside at the old mat, a dog and a beer, you're all set. And Killebrew would crank one out, you bet. Caesar Tovar sliding home, tailgate and grill a T-bone. Now no sun, warm beer with no foam. We sit under a dome. We're talking baseball.
The best game you'll ever see.
Talking Twins ball.
Hey, you want a piece of me?
Drew, Antonio, and Frankie V. Heisel, Weiniger, and Roy Smalley. We're talking Herbie.
Man.
TK and Kirby. Howl, 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 howl. A big one or two, spit and grab your Johnson too. You can be a kid again, it's true. Frosty malt in a cup, Halsey Hall coughing it up. We won it all twice, that's all. So besides the mega mall, you gotta see Twins Ball. Baylor knocks it foul, we're talking Twins Ball. Steve Braun and Hoskin Powell, Bostock and Disco Denny Ford, Mac and Laudner and Zoilo with a Z. We're talking Herbie.
Man.
TK and Kirby. The ballpark's where you gotta go. The crowd would chant for Bumbo, and now they're all making way too much dough. Erickson is doing the town. Blylevin is laying them down. Landro and Lombo, Batty and Bruno, the parade downtown. You gotta love Twins Ball. They love to joke, talking Twins Ball. Infield and Reardon, Senior Smoke. Gaetti, Thornwood's Guard, and Frank Quillis C. Knobloch and Leas, Johnny C. Talking Herbie.
Man.
TK and Kirby. Hey, shut the hell up.
The best of the KQ Morning Show.
I'm Steve Gorman. This is the KQ Morning Show, and it is March the 1st, which means we have had Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon in our lives for 50 years. That is half a century of one of the most iconic, one of the most impactful albums of all time. In 1971, Nick Mason, the drummer of Pink Floyd, had the rest of the band over to his house in Camden, and they sat around talking about their next album, and Roger Waters said, how about we write and perform an entire album based on the pressures and preoccupations that divert us from our potential from positive action? Okay, then. David Gilmour said, it's about the pressures of modern living that conspire to send some people insane. If you set out to make an album that's going to sell millions of copies year in and year out for half a century, I wouldn't expect that madness, mortality, and greed would be the building blocks thematically. But like any example of true art, of true, impactful, timeless art, the impact can't possibly be foreseen. And honestly, it's hard to even explain after 50 years. But that's what makes art, and especially rock music, so truly compelling, at least to me.
I wonder if anyone else in the band just raised their hand and said, could we make an album about spring break?
I'm sure that thought occurred to somebody, most likely Nick Mason himself, but I doubt he said it out loud. By the way, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, 8th studio album for the band.
Mm-hmm.
7 albums of unevenness, of experiments, of no shortage of ambition, but not a condensed, concise message or mood until this 8th album. And Pink Floyd, in their own way, owned the 70s in a way that, well, the Beatles before them owned the 60s. And people talk about the Beatles with, from 63 to 69, that musical progression. The Beatles started with little simple love songs. She Loves You, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And by the end of the decade, they have Revolver, Sgt. Pepper, Hey Jude. You know, they have this incredible journey. Pink Floyd, I think, was equally impressive from the late 60s into the early 70s over a 7-year recording cycle while working primarily at the same studio as the Beatles, Abbey Road. Yeah. But this album went places the Beatles never did. Dark Side of the Moon, as you probably know, spent every week of its first 14 years on the Billboard Top 200 chart. It yeah. came out and went over 700 straight weeks. It's spent now well over 1,000 weeks on that chart because every few months it'll pop back up for a week or two. On an average week, this album still sells 10,000 copies. Not streams, sells 10,000 copies forever. And despite all of this music logging countless spins on rock radio, for any number of reasons, this album is still one people need their own copy of. When CDs took over music sales in the 80s, it went right back to the top of the chart. When streaming hit, it went right back to the top of every one of those charts. My son is 22 years old. He is in a Pink Floyd phase, and it spirals and circles around Dark Side of the Moon. 50 years later, whatever your mood, whatever the setting, whatever your hopes or expectations, this album, as much as, if not more than any album released, still surprises and still enthralls listeners. It is absolutely impossible to overstate the significance of Dark Side of the Moon.
I think I've purchased it in just about every format. It's interesting. I love that Beatles angle because they were recording their very first album, Pink Floyd, at EMI Studios while the Beatles were recording Sgt. Pepper's. And yep. Roger Waters talks about, you know, just a little bit of that bleeding in and understanding. He said it was like they gave us permission to expand our minds and do whatever we wanted to do in the studio. So to have that influence right there. And by the way, a little bit of the Beatles on The Dark Side of the Moon.
You hear voices talking, yeah, reading lines and just making offhanded comments. And McCartney was one of the people they recorded.
Yeah, Roger Waters hated it. He said he was the only guy performing. Everyone else was just blah, blah, blah. He said Paul McCartney tried to crack some jokes. But, you know, Paul McCartney didn't know what the mission was. But there's just a little bit of an orchestral version of the Beatles' Ticket to Ride. You can just hear it bleeding through in the background as the heartbeat fades on that opening track.
Yep. In 1973, this album sounded amazing on whatever record player you happen to have. There's so much happening, and specifically both sonically and emotionally. You know, regardless of your system, this record jumps out and grabs you, and it's still absolutely the same today. I mean, true story, I'm not just saying this for radio. I popped awake at 3 a.m. this morning, and I listened to this album top to bottom with headphones. I just thought, what better time than sitting here in a very, very quiet home, everybody else is asleep, and I'm just going to blast some headphones and listen top to bottom. The ticking clocks and the alarms, the chimes that open the album, it's no longer a surprise, but it still carries this punch, and it sets this tone from the minute you drop the needle that says, to this day, your next 43 minutes are going to be unlike every other 43-minute section of the day. That's probably the simplest explanation for how this record still works. Whatever your mood, whatever your setting, Dark Side of the Moon, it still does the job. The more you expect from it, the more you're surprised by it. This is an album that talks about the inevitability of death, the trivial nature of daily life, the necessity of seizing the moment, and it all works, and it's all truly, it's like a magic trick. It's comforting and it's concerning. It's a series of dualities, and there's just no way to overstate how great an accomplishment this was for a band that seven albums in was still trying to find themselves. Oh, they found themselves, and they never, ever, ever looked back. And by the way, this album was so successful in real time, it made all the members of this band incredibly wealthy. Some of that money went to finance a little film called Monty Python and the Holy Grail. They were principal investors.
Really?
For Monty Python and the Holy Grail. You could say, yeah, I don't really care for Pink Floyd, but you gotta admit, hey, at least they pumped some cash to the Monty Python boys and put out one of the all-time great comedies that has ever existed. I have talked about this album with, I've had conversations with James Hetfield and Darius Rucker and everybody in between. It comes up in conversation. I've heard this album in a taxi cab in Tokyo. I've heard it in a brasserie in Paris. I'm not making this up. I thought about this morning. I've listened to this album in a pool hall in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And every time it's on, the music is in the room. The mood is somehow elevated and it still connects people. They tap into the music. It's palpable. And honestly, I look at this album and I say, it's simply a magic trick. Well done, gentlemen of Pink Floyd.
The best of the KQ Morning Show.
Davani's, your local pizza and hot hoagie joint in the Twin Cities, has been family-owned since 1975. With 20 convenient locations, they proudly employ 900 Minnesotans. Whether it's team gatherings, family meals, work lunches, or just craving familiar comfort food, Davani's is your trusted go-to. If you're looking for delivery, takeout, or somewhere to dine in, they've got you covered. Do you have a large group to feed? They're the large order experts you can count on. Order online at davani's.com.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
back to the best of the KQ Morning Show, 92 KQRS.
That's all there is to it. Sorry, Candace. That's how I see this.
Whatever, man.
Look, there's nothing to fight about. Music is our friend. Music helps everything.
Well, I want to see a fight. I want to see you guys throw down.
All right, fair enough. Put on the Anthrax and let's get to it. Candace and I will get right into the squared circle and we will fight to the death.
I don't know. You put some heavy, heavy metal on for that young lady and you better, you know, rope a dope man. What about this music can make your medication work better?
Simply put, it's just music's what's always good for what ails you. Of course it does. That's what I think when I read this. Of course it does. Because I'm not kidding when I say music always helps me in whatever I'm dealing with.
I'm sure you have seen all the photographs that they show the effect that music has on water, just the shapes and geometric patterns mm-hmm. that it causes. You know, soothing music will make these beautiful, crystalline, incredible images.
Sure. I know that a lot of surgeons, you know, around the world, like when they're operating, when they're cooking, doing their job, they like to have music on.
Mm-hmm. I have a playlist that I just named Make the World Go Away. And it's just a bunch of songs that I want to listen to when I don't want to lay there at night. You know, it's just something's really nagging me. Hit the old Make the World Go Away playlist. And they're just tunes that I immediately check out and go to a happy place.
Candace listens to this when she goes to bed.
Man, let's get ourselves a brew after the show today.
I used to study to a band. They're from
Brainerd.
Iceland, sorry. They're Icelandic.
Brainerd, Iceland.
Yeah. But it was, it would totally activate my brain and it would just make me just study, really? study, yeah.
And again, to the point we were making, anytime science says music actually helps X, Y, or Z, my answer is always, yeah, I know. When I was a kid, if you had told me, you know, here's your St. Joseph's Children's aspirin for your little fever, Steve, which I could eat those things like candy. If somebody had said, you have to take some medicine now, go put on that Beatles record, I would have been like, yeah, fine, I don't care. Give me that cough syrup. Do you remember the cough syrup called Silence is Golden? Did anyone else ever have that in the house as a kid?
No,
we're just.
I think it was straight grain alcohol with honey.
Yeah,
because we used to take. It was called Silence is Golden. The label looked like old timey 20s writing, and my mom would put a spoon of that in your mouth, and I think literally it'd be like tomorrow you'd wake up and go, was that absinthe, Mom? What the hell were you just giving us?
Robitussin gives me like hallucinogenic dreams.
Oh sure, yeah. My brother and I, Doug was actually grilled once. Did you take some of the children's aspirin? He's like, no, of course. Not and he looked at me and was like, I just had about six of those bad boys, you know, because just looking right at my parents and lying through his teeth about it, looking at me and giving me the nod. And I was like, yeah, he's the coolest guy in the world.
The best of the KQ Morning Show.
I've never had the kind of job where there were rules where I looked at them and went, wait, what? This show, job one is don't cuss, don't get the FCC mad at you. Job two is, you know, have a good time with my friends. Not really a job, honestly.
I worked at a fashion outlet called Pants Plus, and you absolutely yes, in Midway in St. Paul, it was awesome.
Pants Plus,
yes, yeah. You absolutely could not let anyone walk out the door without buying something. You had to pass them to another salesperson. No one could walk.
No pressure.
Uh-huh.
You weren't successful at getting the right pair of pants to this guy's hands, but you figured let me my friend Kelly over here might
right.
be.
Right. You know, Chuck is an expert in dress pants, polyester with no pocket. Wow. Why don't you know, Chuck, do you have a second? And then you'd pass him on.
Pants Plus.
And he'd close them every time. He was a master.
You know, there were people talking about him. It's kind of, what are those, parachute pants? Yeah, they are. They're pretty cool. I saw them on Saturday Night Live, so I went out and bought a pair. A guy named Chuck closed the deal. Man, I couldn't get away from him. By the end of the day, I bought three pair. Man, I like the idea of Chuck at Pants Plus. Mm. It's like the stereo salesman in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He's the guy in the mall all the girls are into. Pants Plus, Chuck. He's got those wings, that haircut. Those wings are set up just nice. Pervy's got the T-tops and that Camaro. Come on, man.
Yeah, this is why people shop online now.
That's fantastic. Here's another crazy rule, but I never realized this was really a thing. If you've seen the movie Airplane, and I mean, honestly, if you haven't, what are you doing? The pilot and the co-pilot on a flight, major airlines right now, it's not in the rule book, but it's heavily suggested, and basically it's one of those superstitions. The pilot and the co-pilot never have the same meal. They don't eat the same thing.
Yeah.
simple. Oh, they just, in case there's something bad, in case there's a little, you know, a little side of botulism with that chicken teriyaki, they don't want both the pilot and the co-pilot to get sick.
Well, they can have a little chat then, too. They can talk about what different entrees they enjoyed. Conversation pieces. Keeps them stimulated.
From the tower flight deck. Is that tarragon on that carrot? Yeah, you just got to give them something to talk about. We've got a fuel situation, Kennedy. We need to make an emergency landing, and I'm gassy. That's so funny. You think about the movie Airplane, and but the best part's not that the pilots, you know, both get sick, but they offer Leslie Nielsen. They say, "Well, we had steak or fish," and he says, "That's right, I had the lasagna."
The best of the KQ Morning Show.
And the night after the concert, a whole bunch of us decided to go to dinner because that's what you do. And I forgot one of the most important rules of my life, which is no more than six people at dinner.
Hi.
That's it. I am group dinner phobic. I've just spent so many years, you know, touring, which was great. And then record company people and promoters and different people in the industry always want to take everybody to dinner, which is great. If you go over six people, you start adding 15 or 20 minutes per head to the meal is the general rule. And it just drives me crazy. I'm nuts. I've been scarred from this. You know, who's hogging up all the airtime? Who's talking over the whole table? Who's telling the same story again and again? Who cries during dessert because they suddenly appreciate everyone so much? And I just wanted to say it. I mean, large group meals to me are like Zoom meetings. I can't believe how much some people live for those damn things. There it is. I've said it. I have a problem with group dinners. Is this a me problem, or does anyone else have some issues with large dinners at restaurants?
My large dinners are family dinners, which also
Yeah, there's a lot of potholes there as well, of course.
I usually only go to big dinners if there's obviously a rich person throwing it and they're going to pay for it. I can really isolate myself, and I'm that guy that will just sit there and just keep nodding and smiling. And yeah, look at you.
I swear, there's something about that seventh chair that pulls up, and I lose the plot. Tony, help me.
That poor seventh person who shows
every time.
I like the big dinners, but you have that urge to jockey to be able to sit by the person like who's the most fun or the most interesting or you like the most. Okay. And if you don't get to do that, then that kind of ruins it for me.
There's always something. Candace, do you have one person who thinks they understand the wine list and insists on ordering the wine? Oh, that's you?
I don't mind big dinners, but I like to bounce around. So it's better than I'm in like the hosting status.
Right,
So I can go around the table.
You're a butterfly. When they start saying, we can put all the tables together, I break out with shingles. Don't even get me started on that when the waiter's like, and what will you have? And they're not writing it down. Even if they get it right, I'm still mad at them for making me stress about it.
I'm a really good communicator with the service staff. So I always like ask them what's good.
Right.
I tell them to split the check ahead of time. Like I just like to make things cool.
You're cutting things off at the pass, and I appreciate that. From now on, Candace, you can be my seventh.
You have a good point, though. Instead of having the gigantic table, why not split it up? Because you can't talk to the people at the far end
exactly. anyway. I'm glad we could have this conversation. I'm not feeling better. I'm actually just getting wound up. And I have no group dinners planned, but the next one I have, it's like a zit underneath the surface. It's going to pop eventually. It's going to make me crazy.
The best of the KQ Morning Show.
Gene Simmons puts ice cubes in his cereal, and I'm not happy about that.
That's weird.
Why doesn't he refrigerate his milk? Just not cold enough for him? He likes really cold.
Thank you. Just freeze the milk if it's that much of a problem. Fill your ice tray with milk. Maybe he likes to water down the milk, to which I would say, well, then get skim milk. You don't have to have whole milk with ice cubes. That's upsetting to me.
it gets in the way of the cereal.
Of all of the things Gene Simmons has done, does do, and will do that may be upsetting, this is at the top of the list now.
I want to know what kind of cereal he enjoys. Simmons digs.
I mean, is it too obvious to say clearly he's got some Count Chocula stock? it would seem to me like he's a Count Chocula guy. Blueberry. Remember the Monster Kisses cereals?
Oh, yeah. Everybody in their family had their own, right? Now, of course, you guys were, you guys had to double up on those. Dude. But in my family, we had three kids, uh-huh. and there was the Boo Berry, there was the Count Chocula, my brother, and then I was the Frankenberry.
Yeah, dude, the cereal wars of Severna mm-hmm. Park, Maryland at the Gorman household, the stuff of legend. We would barricade ourselves at the table. You would have like a wall of boxes to close yourself in. Right. And it was really more about just getting enough of them. So I needed like four cereal boxes in a semicircle around me to block my view of the rest of the table. And if an older brother came and grabbed one, you know, like I was like, no, I need those buckwheats. He's like, I'm actually going to eat them. You're just using it to have a fort at the table.
Cereal fort.
Have you ever thrown up cereal?
I've thrown up pretty much anything at this stage, but yeah.
Not fun.
Did you re-eat it?
No, I was
just asking.
12 years old.
Is she an amphibian?
And I stayed home from school and I lied about being sick. I stayed home from school.
Okay.
And I had a big, pretty much the whole box of Cookie Crisp. And all up.
Yeah.
And thus, kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Self-fulfilling act, I guess, not a prophecy.
I didn't eat Raisin Bran for years because one time while enjoying a bowl of Raisin Bran, my brother dumped the whole sugar bowl into it and then said to me, you can't waste it. You have to eat it.
Oh,
and so
said.
I did, because it's wasteful, and some child in India would suffer if I wasted food. And I hurled that stuff up, and I didn't go near Raisin Bran for like 10 years.
Were you crying with each spoonful?
I was. It was my personal baton death march. It was my Raisin Bran death march to the end of that bowl. It was awful.
The best of the KQ Morning Show.
Am I the Jerk segments. We've got a couple we want to share.
We're going to start with Ian. Is he the jerk or not?
I'm actually going to get married, and I made my brother my best man. I let him know all the duties that it entailed, and he's getting next to nothing. My best friend, I let him know some of the duties that my brother hasn't been doing, and he's been nailing them. Here's my dilemma. Because he's my brother, should I make it two best men, or what I really want to do, he doesn't deserve the title, and make my best friend my best man. Am I a jerk for doing that?
I got to start with this one. He says, I asked my brother to be my best man. I let him know all the duties. It sounds like there's a bit of a laundry list for this guy.
Yeah, he's a little controlling. I've been a best man 5 times.
Uh-huh.
And you just, you coordinate a bachelor party of some sort.
Right.
And you give a nice toast.
Yeah.
Adios.
I thought that was the extent of it.
For
apparently,
guys.
Sleep with a bridesmaid, too. Don't forget that part.
I mean, it's not like for girls, there's more things involved.
Shouldn't have a checklist.
I think it's perfectly fine to have the best man you want to be the best man. I don't think that, look, I was my brother Doug's best man at a wedding in 1985. He made a big mistake asking me.
I'm thinking of my brother's first wedding when I was in my early 20s. I was the best man, and I didn't take it very seriously.
Yeah, same
I did
thing.
Show up drunk and late to the wedding.
Oof.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
well, you make me look like a great guy all of a sudden. Right. Zep, thanks. Right. I'm feeling better about my poor performance back in 85.
Jerk.
Candace?
I think he's a total jerk.
She thinks they're jerks because they found love and got married. No, I'm teasing. Now we'll turn it over to Yasmin.
I arrived at the restaurant a little bit early, and I sat at the bar, and this guy next to me offered to buy me a drink. So I said, sure, whatever. And as I was finishing up, my date walked in and saw me with this other guy, and he walked right out. And then he texted me a few minutes later saying that I was a jerk for having a drink with another guy when I was there to be with him. I mean, am I a jerk for taking a drink before a date? Yeah.
I'd say no. I can see it being a little feather ruffling for the actual date. We're all adults here. You move on. I could see that working. I do, I guess, live in a dream world based on the look on Tony's face right now. So,
no, I just think you look dreamy. She, you know, first she should make out with him first and see if there's a connection, and then accept a drink. But she could have waited the 5-10 minutes for her date to show up to get a drink. So no, you politely go, thank you for offering. I appreciate the flirtation, but
she could have said, you know what? I'd like to have a drink with you. I'm actually waiting on a date. Maybe at another time we could meet and you could buy me that drink.
Yep.
That would be more acceptable.
Or order an entree or an appetizer instead.
Or order or two, one for the date that's coming. You know, you can buy me a couple of drinks. I'll need a couple of Long Islands here.
Could she say, I can't have this drink with you, but I will accept the cash equivalent of whatever drink you are about to get? Is that acceptable on any level? Candace? Let us have it.
I'm not sure I would do this, but I like this girl. And she got there early. You know, her date should have got there early, too. So, his fault.
Oh, yeah. Well, right
on. You snooze, you lose. Okay.
Candace rocking the Yasmin tip on that. I like that.
I would be excited to come in and rob this man's woman away. Going, ah, I got a date with her, and you're buying her a drink, you sucker. You think you're getting somewhere. Allow me to take her to another table and wine and dine her in front of your miserable failed attempt to steal a date away from another guy. I don't know. I mean, this is one of those slippery slope kind of deals.
Well, hang on. Is there a moment in that conversation where you jump down and knock out some push-ups?
The best of the KQ Morning Show.
We're messing up left, right, and center by simply not repeating the mistakes my parents made. I opened up a door to a whole bunch of other ones that I've ignored. If there's one thing you need to accept about having kids, it's you're gonna screw up. And with that, there is a couple that has a small child. His name is Cannon, spelled K-A-N-N-O-N. Okay, so that's strike one. They took Cannon to Disney World, and then they wanted to make sure he could ride all of the rides. They showed a video on TikTok where they put lifts on his shoes to give him a few extra inches to make him at least 38 inches tall. He was able to ride the big boy rides. Coolest parents ever. The other is get that boy away from those people as soon as possible.
Right.
I'm in the camp of the latter. Don't put a child on a ride they're physically too small to ride on. Zep, am I being way too touchy-feely here?
Absolutely, but not. I let my kids watch The Ring when they were like 5 and 6 and got chastised by mom because every time a phone would ring, they were freaked out. They were too young to watch that scary of a movie. So I screwed up there, all right?
Yeah, no, I'm all for like, yeah, get the kid extra cotton candy. That's acceptable on a trip to Disney World. But cutting the line with the fake shoes, I can't imagine.
Mm. Yeah, Tony? Here's my problem as a parent. I'm a pushover. I have a hard time saying no. They know it. There's blood in the water. They seize the opportunity. It's like, you want another box of waffles, honey? You're hungry? Go ahead. Just clean up the crumbs so mom doesn't get mad. Wait, I'll clean that up for you. So,
okay, but you're not putting the waffles atop the chimney when the roof is covered in ice. It's not, you know, you're not threatening their life by, you want more waffles? Climb. Get up there.
What if they find out the extra padding makes the shoes that much more comfortable?
Yeah.
Oh man, you are a pushover. You're already trying to help these folks out.
We've turned into a bit of a nanny nation here.
I look at it like this though. It's not a nanny nation. Here there's a lesson to be taught that people we definitely have gotten past the point of, you know what? It's good to, no, you know what? No, you're not tall enough yet. Deal with it. Yeah. Emotionally regulate. I grew up waiting in line. I'm the 8th kid. That's I was right. told no every day of my life. I think I told you guys once, man, the first time I wore a piece of clothing that wasn't a hand-me-down, I was confused. I didn't understand what was happening. Like, well, in life, what would you rather have happen? Would you rather be told no and then yes, or yes and then no? I'll take no and then yes every day over yes and then no.
Yeah, that's like finding out there's a snow day after all.
Exactly.
By the way, this couple that you're talking about is hateable. They came back and said, no, he's tall enough the entire time. We're a TikTok family, so we just concocted the whole thing just to produce content. So now they're using their children to produce content. That's how hateable these people
are. Call family services. Uh-huh. Let's get this kid a new start in life.
Get him out of there, please.
Come on. First the Cannon with a K, and now the whole thing's fake anyway. You're looking for viral hits?
No kidding.
This kid's going to be an influencer and make tons of dough.
He is going to be an influencer and make tons of dough. And we're going to, you know, Cannon with a K? Uh-huh, sure. Sure thing, kid.
The KQ Morning Show. 92 KQRS.
Davani's, your local pizza and hot hoagie joint in the Twin Cities and family owned since 1975. With 20 convenient locations, they proudly employ 900 Minnesotans. Delivery, takeout, or dine in, they've got you covered. Order online at davani's.com.